Hi, and welcome to the Dog Sports Decoded podcast. I'm the host, Megan Ritchie, and today I wanted to share with you some information that I've gained over the years on different training treats for training classes, and just in general working with your dog. So what's going to be effective to get your dog focused on you and successful in your class or in your practice session, and just some different things that I look for in those training treats. So we are going to talk about training treats, kind of versus Kong and everyday treats, what I'd consider three different levels of treats, and then give you some allergy and sort of intolerance ideas if you're dealing with some different allergy issues. So that's what we're going to cover. So what do I consider training treats versus treats that I would use as a Kong or everyday treat? So training treats, simply, I guess, to run through the list, these are going to be easily consumable, they're going to be soft, and they're going to be moist. So I'll flip you back over here. So easily consumable, what do I mean by that? We want them generally very small, and again, that's going to kind of depend a little bit on your dog's size, but we want them small so that your dog eats them and can quickly go and do the next thing you're asking them to do. So for a lot of our dogs, we want really quick repetitions and success very quickly. So I think that's why there's been such a big move to the positive dog training kind of movement and theory. We want to get a lot of repetitions very quickly. So as much as there's some controversy, I would say, in the general public about using treats and kind of treats versus bribes, I would say that the treat method has just proven to be very effective very quickly. And one of the reasons for that is our dogs can consume those treats so quickly. So, you know, we're going to ask them to sit, we're going to give them a treat, and within a second they've eaten the treat and we can ask them to sit again. So instead of playing with a toy where I'm going to ask them to sit, reward them with a tug toy or something like that, you know, a tug session might take 10 to 30 seconds, where a treat can be consumed very quickly and we can just get more repetitions in a shorter period of time. So there's nothing wrong with using other rewards, but in a class environment, treats tend to be the quickest and easiest to use. They're also the easiest to pack around if you're on a walk or something like that. So easily consumable, and typically by that, again, I would just mean small. That's going to depend on your dog a little bit. Like I said, the size of your dog, my dogs are a little bit bigger, so I would say you want it to be large enough that they know they've eaten it, but as small as possible. So for my guys, if I cut up something about the size of a pea, I would say, that's going to work well for them. They know they've eaten the treat, so not searching around the floor for it, and they know they've gotten that reward, but it's going to be small enough that I can give them more treats, because really the largest concern is we don't want to give them too many calories, so we don't want to feed them too many treats. We don't want their belly full or them to have an upset tummy while they're working, and just stop working for that reason. If you've ever had your dog, you know, halfway through a training class, just kind of quit on you because their belly's got 2 pounds of treats in it, you know, we want to avoid that. So that's what I would look for in sort of that easily consumable. So then soft treats, this is something maybe isn't totally necessary. I'm a little bit picky about this, but I like a softer treat. To me, freeze-dried treats, we'll talk about some different kinds in a minute, but this is one of the brands that I like. And to me, the freeze-dried versus the dehydrated tend to be a little bit softer. And I kind of think of this like eating like a really crusty, you know, sandwich baguette, something like that. You know, if you're eating that for your lunch, it might be the most delicious sandwich in the world, but as those like shards of you know, bread crust are stabbing in the roof of your mouth, maybe it's not as enjoyable as like a nice soft sandwich, right? So I kind of think about that when we train our dog. I don't really want something like really hard and gritty in their mouth as I'm trying to reward them, because I, you know, that's maybe not the best in my mind. But again, for most dogs, if they're really tiny, they're probably not chewing it really anyway, they're just gonna swallow it. So that one's a bit nitpicky as far as the softness goes, but I do find it's important too if you're breaking them up. So again, I'll get into this a little bit, but some of these treats, let's just show you this one here really quickly. If you can see that. So like some of these liver type treats are pretty big. So you're not going to give all of that to your dog. As we talked about, we want kind of small as possible. So you're going to have to kind of break that up somehow. So if you're sitting in class breaking off pieces, that's okay. But I find that gets pretty hard on my hands. You know, if I'm sitting there for a half hour or an hour breaking up treats, the harder they are. So if they're soft, either I can easily break them up with my hands, or I can just cut them up in the kitchen before we go to class. So soft is something I would look for. And then if you watched our last episode on kind of being in the barn hunt blind, Monica had talked about having moist treats. And I do think that is important sort of early on in, I'll say my dog training experience. My dogs both were on kibble. And so I tended to use a lot of kibble, and that's a great option. We're going to get into that. But it is drier, so if you are, and it's not the only dry treat, like certainly some of these freeze-dried treats are dry as well. But if it is a drier treat that you're using, your dog's probably going to want to run over to the water bowl and drink up a lot of water. And for something like kibble, if they do drink, are able to drink water in class, and you're able to give that to them, it's going to expand and swell the kibble in their stomach as well. So if their stomach can only hold, I'll say, a cup of kibble and water, and you give them a cup of kibble and then they go drink a bunch of water, that kibble's going to expand in their stomach and probably make them sick. So nothing wrong with kibble, but just keep that in mind. So the more moist the treat, you know, maybe something like a Zook or one of these guys, just like a soft, moist treat, is going to be a little bit easier on the tummy, because they're not going to need to rush over to that water bowl and drink a bunch of water during class. So if it is kind of a longer training period you're doing, that's something to consider. If you're just kind of working on a certain trick or behavior around the house for, you know, 30 seconds, 5 minutes, something like that, not such a big deal. But that is something I just wanted to mention. So those are kind of the training treats in particular. So what would I consider a Kong or an everyday treat? So for a training treat, that's when I would use some of these jerky type treats. So this one's a dehydrated fish. So those would work well. Or this is a spike version, just a venison jerky, but it's a little bit drier, a little bit harder to break up. So I don't particularly like them for a class, just because I have to sit there and break them up. It's going to take a little bit more time for me to get them into the smaller pieces that I want, and just be a little bit more chewy, so they have to spend a little bit more time chewing it, which is going to decrease the amount of reps you can get in. So I still like them, but I tend to save them as kind of a special treat when the dogs run into their kennel, or to put in their Kong, or you know, just... If they did something you like, you can run over to the kitchen, break off a piece for them, and it's kind of special for them that way. So I do like them, but I tend not to like them as much for training, just because they are, again, just harder to break into smaller pieces and need to be chewed a little bit more. So that's kind of the difference in my mind. Again, those training treats, we just want tiny treats we can break up and give them in a class. So that's what I'm looking for. So then the next thing I want to talk about was kind of the level of treats. So typically I think this would be kind of a low value treat, sort of an average treat, and then a super high value treat. So when we talk low value treats, one of the most common things I'm going to use is probably kibble. So if you can use that, that's awesome. It's great for around the house. I've also used it in training classes. So there's a lot of different options you can use for a low value treat. But kibble would probably be my number one go-to if your dog is on a kibble diet or can tolerate kibble. Easy to transport, lasts a long time, very inexpensive. In general, with any of these treats, sort of the recommendation from vets and other experts, dog food companies, is keep the treat calories to less than 10% of your dog's average daily caloric intake. So you can calculate that if you'd like to. I've always just kind of roughly guessed But using kibble is a great way around that. So if we can use kibble, it's very easy for us to, read the back of the bag and go, okay, my dog gets 3 cups a day. I'm gonna take 2 cups of that and kind of set it aside for our training, and I'm gonna feed them half a cup morning and evening, I'll say, as sort of their regular meal. So that's an easy way to just split out, whatever their treats are for the day that you want to use for training. So that's super easy. But I did want to mention that because, if your dog, if you find maybe kibble, your dog's regular kibble is a little too low value for your dog, you can also just go buy another brand of kibble. So that can be another way to kind of just add a little bit more value to the kibble while still being fairly easy for you to kind of figure out how much they get in their daily allotment for treats. So the other thing I did want to show you is, like I said, this is a puppy kibble, and I think a small breed kibble you can use. So even if you don't have a puppy, you could use either that small breed or puppy kibble. It's going to be a little bit smaller. So again, they're already kind of in those, I don't know, pre-made smaller pieces for you. You don't have to break them up. You don't have to chop them up, spend any extra time. They're already in that smaller pieces. And again, even if you have an adult dog, if you wanted to feed a puppy breed kibble, you can do that as a treat. Just keep it under that 10% limit. So I did want to mention that because that is an option. I've also heard people using kitty kibble as well. Has a little higher protein count, so that might be a little more appealing to your dog than, say, their regular kibble. A lot of dogs really like cat food, so again, as long as you keep it underneath that 10% limit, something like that is an option and is going to be a little bit smaller for you to use. So that's good. And another option, kind of kibble-wise, I want to touch on. So again, if you want something a little bit higher value than the regular kibble, if they are being fed, say, a chicken formula, which is pretty common for most sort of, I don't want to say, I'll say baseline kibbles. Most start with chicken because it's the least expensive protein option. So if your dog's on a chicken diet, kibble diet, you can also try to use beef or lamb or just another protein. Again, if you want to just bump up that low value treat just a little bit. So those would be your options. Just switching to a different brand because novel is new and exciting. You can try a kitty kibble, or you can try a different protein source. So a few different options for that kind of lower value treat. Some other things I've used, my dogs have a little bit of trouble with kibble. So I have used vegetables. Things like that are pretty easy. I like to use frozen peas, frozen carrots, something like that. The frozen peas are nice because for my dogs, that's kind of the perfect size for training. If I just throw them into a bowl right away, they're still frozen. They're kind of easy to throw out if we're working on certain behaviors. So say if I wanted to teach them to tap on a light switch, I'll say, on the ground, they can just, they tap on it. I can throw a piece of frozen pea somewhere on the carpet for them. They come back, tap it again. I can throw another one for them. So again, very quick repetitions. Frozen peas are pretty nice and clean, so not gonna dye anything generally, especially if they're still frozen. So they're easy to toss out and get through a quick little session like that. But again, a lower value treat, low calorie treat. So if you wanted, you could certainly like chop up carrots, give little banana pieces, kind of anything like that. Just be careful, obviously, with dyeing. So blueberries on a white carpet, probably not the best choice. But fruits and veggies can make a good kind of lower value, lower calorie training treat as well. There is another one I'm going to talk about when we get into allergies, but that's what I've found works well for my dogs. So that's kind of the low value treat. So then we get into kind of the average treat, and we've got a bunch of different options there for training. Like I said, well, I shouldn't say that. My go-to is probably hot dogs. They're very inexpensive. They're soft and they're moist, so they kind of hit all of those kind of initial targets, which is nice. Again, for my dogs, I bring them to class. I pre-chop them, so I cut them into quarters. So I kind of set a hot dog on the cutting board, cut it along the long way, and then I, take each half, cut it again the long way again, and then I just chop it into smaller pieces. Again, the smaller you can do, the better. So if you had a dog that was, say, under 10 pounds, a little chihuahua, something like that, I probably would cut it up into sixths instead of quarters. I find I have a hard time if I cut them any smaller, just, with my hands. If I grab into the bag and try and feed them a treat, if I cut them much smaller, I'm grabbing two or three treats out at the same time. So for myself, I find just that quarter works well for my hand size, and with my dog's size, I'm able to do that. But if you have a smaller dog, you might want to chop them into smaller pieces. But for me, if I take three hot dogs, chop them up that way, that's going to last a pr maybe 20-minute training session, something like that, depending on what we're training. So, that's a really great inexpensive option, and it comes, like, I usually buy the 100% chicken ones, but you can buy beef, obviously, and if allergies aren't a huge issue, even, they don't have to be 100% beef or chicken. So, just gives you another option that is my number one option to go to. So, from there, if I'm looking for a store kind of bought option, kind of pre-made option, I really like these Rocky Mountain Raw freeze-dried cheeks. They come in a bunch of different protein sources, but for allergies, this is great because we know what's the ingredients in it. It's only chicken. We'll talk about it in a bit, but if you have more serious allergies, this might not be the best option if your dog really can't handle any cross-contamination or if you're on a feeding trial. But for sort of average allergies, usually this is fine if your dog just has an insensitivity to a different protein. So, really like these freeze-dried treats. My preference is freeze-dried, personal preference is freeze-dried versus dehydrated. As I kind of mentioned, I just find they're a little bit softer, so they're a little easier to break up if I have to. And even if you see the size of these, they're still fairly large, so I would cut them up. For my dogs, I probably would take one of these treats and at least cut it into quarters. I could probably do eighths pretty easily if I wanted to. And I find the easiest thing to do is just to take out a cutting board and a knife and chop them up that way. I used to kind of sit in class and break them apart, and if I have to, if I'm in a rush and haven't prepared, I'll do that. But otherwise, I definitely find it's easier, especially for a class like maybe obedience or a puppy class, rally. If you are feeding a lot of treats in a particular skill you're learning, then it's nice to be able to cut them into those smaller pieces. If it was something like barn hunt, where I'm only giving them a treat sort of at the end of the run, or something like that, I probably wouldn't bother myself, but just laziness. But if it was a class where we were doing a lot of repetitions, I definitely would chop that up. So again, as kind of an average treat value for my dogs, this would be probably the number two behind hot dogs that I go to. And if I don't have hot dogs prepared, that's what I would use. So again, this is a Crumps Natural, and this is kind of a newer one that I've found, the mini trainer, and I really like this. This one I believe is dehydrated. Oh no, this one's freeze-dried. This is beef liver. But you can see in here, much, much smaller than the freeze-dried Rocky Mountain. Let's see. So you can kind of see the difference in the size of the treats there. These are much, much smaller. So I really like this as an option for dogs that are, say, under 10 pounds. If you have a really tiny dog and you're running to a training class, or even with a larger dog, they're definitely going to know they've eaten that. So right out of the bag, that's a good option if you're running to class. But for our tiny dogs, dogs under 10 pounds, I think that's a great option for them. I know often, you're running to class right after work or something like that, and maybe you haven't had a chance to prepare as much as you'd like. So for kind of a ready-to-go option, this Crumps Natural Mini Trainers is a great option for you. So low calorie, but they're going to be pretty interested in that. So from there, I would say the most common recommendation would be kind of a Zoox. I haven't had much luck myself with those in a training class environment. At home, they've worked okay for me. They're a little higher value than, say, a low-value kibble. But they've treats like that have typically been created for training. So they're soft, they're moist, they're typically on the smaller side. I still do chop them up. The one I wanted to show you today was this Tiny Bites from Jay's. So again, small. It's probably a little tinier than a Zoox. Just gonna try and show you here a piece. So it's probably a little smaller than a zook would be. I got a couple there. But I would still cut these up. Even for my dogs, I probably would cut them into at least two treats to get a little more value out of it. And again, I would just take them over to the cutting board with a knife and do that if I'm prepared to want to do that before a class. But they're just really nice soft treats, and so a little softer, I would say, than the zooks. Zooks are usually recommended, I would say, because they're lower calorie. A lot of dogs do like them. They're easy to chop up or break up if you have to in class. So with a zook, I typically would probably get four more out of it. You could maybe cut it into eighths, but I find a lot of dogs just are not super motivated by them in that class environment. So they work well as sort of an average treat at home, or sort of maybe once you're into your class. So I'll talk about that in just a second here. But, you know, typically I'd start a class with a higher value treat just to get them focused. Maybe that's when I would use one of these freeze-dried. So maybe I'd use this or a hot dog when we first start our class. But then as we get into the class, maybe I could switch to a zook or something like that. And still keep their engagement. But often, in my experience, a zook-type treat, I can't say I've used these for my own guys, but something like that, you know, will work well maybe as we get a little further into the class and they're focused and settled down a little bit more. So that's what I want to talk about for the average treats. If you want to get a little bit more, I'll say, bang for your buck out of your treats, you can certainly kind of mix them up. So if you take a little Ziploc bag, you can throw a handful of each of these into the Ziploc bag. I've also heard, you know, you can mix in just plain Cheerios, and that'll kind of absorb some of the oil from some of the treats. So that'll be another kind of low calorie option to kind of expand, you know, the amount of treats you have, and but still very kind of low cost to kind of get a little more bang for your buck out of your treat bag. You can also use cheese. I would probably put cheese in kind of the more, a little higher value for most dogs, but you know, if you mix a little bit of that in with your treats, another good a good option. So that is going to take us over to, so we've gone through our low value treats, which I've mostly talked about being kind of frozen veggies and kibble. Our sort of average treats, which are going to be kind of our freeze-dried or pre-made treats. Something like the zooks or this Jay's Tiny Bites that I showed you. And then now we're going to talk about our high-level treats. So what I've found for most dogs is sort of any of the organ-type meat is typically pretty high value. Some of the pepperoni-style treats can be very high value, especially if they're kind of homemade and just sort of meat in general. So if you wanted to make your dog, you know, cook, boil some chicken, something like that, chop it up and bring it to class, that's also going to be a pretty high value treat for most dogs. So sort of in the pre-made, ready-to-go option, recently kind of stumbled across these Stella and Chewy treats, and I kind of like them. Again, they're single ingredient, so this one's lamb liver and lamb heart, but they do come in other proteins. But any of these organ meats tend to be very high value for our dogs. You know, the beef liver that I showed you with these crumps, same thing, probably gonna be a little higher value. But any of those organ meats, a little bit richer, so they're gonna be higher value for our dog. They're gonna smell a little bit more, smell a little bit better, so they're gonna like them. I tend to find these are a little harder to break up, so you know, they're gonna be bigger pieces, so I would kind of ration them a little bit that way, and just because they are richer, they can upset your dog's tummy if you feed too many. But they're really great high-value treat to have in your arsenal. If you're dealing with reactivity issues, something like that, it's nice to be able to pull out something high-value pretty quickly and feed your dog if they do something amazing. You know, if maybe if you're doing agility training and they're kind of scared of the teeter-totter, it's nice to have something just a little bit higher value that you can pull out when they're being especially brave or good, and give them a really special treat for that. So yeah, I've really come to like these Stella and Chewy. And again, they come in different proteins and different organs. So there's liver and heart that I just showed a minute ago. So they give you a couple different options depending on what your dog likes and what protein you're able to feed them. So that's really what I want to talk about with that. So kind of the three different levels. And again, I would start a class. I maybe wouldn't start with this just to get their attention. But you know, if they do something extra special, that's when I'm going to pull up that high value treat. Otherwise, I kind of work. You kind of have to work with what your dog tells you. So if you're in a training class and they're having a hard time focusing for kibble, you might have to pull out, say, your average value treats. So, you know, I might start with, like I said, that Rocky Mountain freeze-dried chicken. That would maybe be my go-to, or the hot dogs. And if my dog's really having a hard time focusing on me for whatever reason, you know, other dogs are barking and bouncing around, they're so excited to come into class. Maybe you're going to pull out some of those organ meat type treats, get them focused on you a little bit more, and then I can switch back to the hot dogs or even to the kibble. So just depends what your dog's needs are. If they're not focusing on you, unfortunately, we just have to kind of bump the value of the treat, and then we can try and lower it again, you know, get the lower calories, because we don't want to get them overweight. But we do need their attention. So, you know, that was something I kind of struggled with their out and about class when I had just gotten Tess. You know, I just could not get her to focus on me. But, you know, in hindsight, I'm probably using Zooks outside with a bunch of other dogs around. So, you know, with all the environmental distractions, you know, it's probably not enough of a high value treat to get her attention, especially at that age. If I'd have been able to pull out one of the organ type meats, you know, maybe I could have gotten her attention a little bit more, and then, you know, bumped that back down to the Zook or the dehydrated treat. But, you know, often, unless you know this or you've experimented with a bunch of different treats, it's hard to know where to start. So that's why I wanted to do this podcast. All right, so unfortunately, quite a few of our dogs lately seem to be struggling with different allergy issues and intolerance issues. So I didn't want to leave you to go away kind of empty-handed and not have some different strategies that you can use for that. So that's what we're going to talk about next, different kind of allergies and intolerances and some different ideas that you can use to get through training class. So I typically break this down into two different categories. There's going to be dogs that have a little milder allergy issues and more of an intolerance, and then there's going to be more serious allergy issues where maybe you're going through a feeding trial or you know there can be absolutely no cross-contamination. So I'm going to break that down a little bit here. So let's start with the more mild cases. In general, if you are dealing with allergies, I would avoid some of these training treats. Like the Zooks or this Jays, and that's nothing against them. But as you can see, this is sort of the ingredient list, quite a few more ingredients, and that's just going to give you more opportunities to have issues. So, for myself, that's one reason I really like the hot dogs. Again, it's inexpensive. There's typically only one protein source, you know, generally human grade, or should be human grade, certainly. So, you know, we're just not going to see. There might be other issues with the hot dogs, like there might be increased salt content that you'll have to watch if you have other your dog has other health issues. But typically a little smaller ingredient list, and since it's typically the proteins that are the issue, as long as we get that dealt with, we're usually okay. But you know, some of these treats have multiple protein sources, and just a lot more ingredients. I'm not convinced that for my own dogs that some of the preservatives might be an issue. So, you know, unfortunately, that does take a lot of the Zoox type treats off the list in my opinion. So, I would avoid those. If your dog is on a special kibble, that can be a great option as kind of that lower value treat. Like I said, you already know they're doing well on it. So if you can bring that out and use it, that's great. A lot of veterinary clinics and sort of those kibble lines will also sell sort of a corresponding treat. I'm not crazy about them because they're typically sort of like big wafers. They're extruded like kibble often, so they're not super easy to break. They're flaky, so it's hard to get those really tiny pieces. But if that's what's working for you, at least that's an option for that kind of lower value treat, if you're not giving too many. So if you're on a kibble that's working, I would definitely use that. And don't be afraid to use that. So from there, my typical advice for kind of an average kind of a lower, milder case of allergies would be, like I said, something like this. It's a single ingredient. Same with this Stella and Chewy for a more higher value treat. But they're single ingredient, one protein source. So they make a really good option if your dog has sort of those mild allergies or you're on top of the allergies. You know, if there happens to be a little bit of cross-contamination, you know, those companies are all really good to try and clean up the area, but sometimes it's in the air or, you know, a machine isn't perfectly cleaned, you know, shouldn't happen, but certainly from some of the studies I've read, even with kibble products where they're trying very, very hard to only get single ingredient or single protein kibbles, a lot of testing has found that there is some cross-contamination with other protein sources. So that would be my recommendation for a milder case. If you can get away with it, it's going to be much easier for you. But it is single ingredient, so at least you know, at least primarily the food source is going to be this, the protein that you know is not an issue. So that would be my top recommendation for sort of an average, and as I said, the hot dogs, so for kind of average dog. And again, some of these like more dehydrated fish, something like that, can work well for a Kong or something, or a higher value reward, where you're just going to give them one or two maybe, even if it's a little bit more calories, it can be a good option. So I don't like these for sort of your entire training class, but they can work well for that high value treat that you're giving, you know, for a very special or well-behaved cue. So that's sort of what I would use for an average or milder allergy or intolerance. The less ingredients you have, the less concerns you should have as an owner, worrying about, you know, well, what exactly is it that my dog's allergic to that we're having trouble with? So those treats are great options. So what do you do if your dog has a more severe case? So in that case, as I kind of mentioned for the milder cases, if they're already on a kibble or something that they're doing well on, don't switch it up a whole lot. So that's what I would recommend for that lower value treat. You can buy the veterinary treats that typically go in that same line, since most companies are good about that, or you can just feed the kibble. So those are good options for kind of a average treat if you have to do that. Average to lower value treat, those are going to work well. The other option here, might be noisy here, that my veterinarian recommended was just plain Rice Krisps. You know, the only ingredient is rice. You do have to be careful what brand you buy. Got my friends here interested in that. So I've noticed a bunch of, you know, different ingredients that can go into that. I think it's the Quaker brand that one is, and it's single ingredient. So I do look for that. There's a couple no-name brands I found at Co-op and Superstore, and I believe both of those sort of no-name versions do have other ingredients in them, so I don't buy them. But just watch the ingredient list. I think it's the Superstore one comes in either whole white rice or brown rice. So that's kind of a nice option if you have a preference one way or the other. But they do have a few different ingredients. No protein in that one. So if protein source is the only issue, you can probably go with any brand. But in my case, when we started, we were doing a very strict sort of elimination diet. So that was nice because it's only one ingredient. And at the time, the kibble they were on did have rice in it. So we weren't mixing different food sources. They were already getting rice in their kibble and then later in their raw food or cooked food. So the rice was fine as a treat option. So again, not the most exciting treat, but it is a nice treat to have around the house if you want to just give something extra. So I know in my case, Tess really didn't like having the front clip harness put over her head. So if I just give her one of those after we buckle it up and stuff, she was much happier about that. So if you need just kind of a low value treat for something like that, that can work well. At one point, we were trying to do nose work with that, and it did not go well. We just was not a high enough value trade for her in that class environment to focus and succeed. The distraction level was just too high to use something like that. But it is an option if you are making your own dog food, which unfortunately we sometimes have to do when we're on these elimination diets. If you can use whatever that kind of carb source is, if there is one, sometimes that makes a nice little bit lower value treat. So if you were using rice, you could make little rice balls, something like that, or just feed a single grain of rice. You could use apples, you could use, if you wanted to cook it and chop up some different, pieces of potato, something like that, you could definitely do that. Hash browns might be an option if you were to cook them up without oil. If you were just, take those little pieces, they're going to be pretty tiny and easy to work with. Just watch the ingredients again. So something like that I find works well as kind of that lower value treat. And then as we get into sort of that average, the higher value treat, sometimes we have a little bit of an issue. So as that average value treat, what I ended up using primarily for Tess, she was on a veterinary kibble line. And they had the canned food that went with that as well. So what I ended up doing was taking that canned food out. I find it really depends on the brand you use, so you might have more success with this with certain, and not even brands, but certain varieties of those kind of allergy line foods. So when we were on the gastro food, I think that canned version worked well. She later was on a catfish protein one. And I don't think that one worked as well. And then I can't say the word, I just cannot pronounce it, but it was another allergy one, and that one worked extremely well for us. All the same brand, but just the different processes and sort of ingredients that went into it made it easier or harder. But what you can try is just kind of scooping out a bit of that canned food. I threw it on a cutting board and then I just kind of sliced it and then sliced it into really teeny tiny pieces, threw it on a baking sheet, and then I put it in the oven and dehydrated it. It doesn't dehydrate kind of the way you would think. It's not like dehydrating for a jerky treat, or at least the varieties I had didn't work out very well that way. But if I could dehydrate it enough, it would still kind of be a little bit dry on the outside, but it would be moist on the inside, so that worked okay for training. But just that little bit of dehydration made it a little bit easier for me to handle, so my hands weren't like slimy throughout the entire class, and just would kind of break apart easily. So I dehydrated them in the oven. I think, I heard different things from my veterinarian, but what worked well for me was I think I put it on about 175 Fahrenheit, and then I'd leave it for about 20 to 40 minutes in the oven with that particular, that last particular one that I can never pronounce. That worked well for that. I've heard, maybe you shouldn't have to have it in the oven quite that long, but that's kind of what ended up working for me. So you can play around with that a little bit. If you have an actual dehydrator, you can certainly use that. It does stink to high heaven doing that, but it's an option. And if you're dealing with serious allergy issues, you're kind of left with a bunch of bad options. So that's one way you can do that. Again, fairly inexpensive. I dehydrated them, let them sort of dry off a little bit, cool off. I'd throw them all in a Ziploc bag, kind of portioned out the way I would need for a class or a walk, and just take that with me, throw them in the freezer, and then just kind of have enough of them thawed out, I guess, to take to classes. So they were easy. If I ran out of a bag, I'd take one out of the freezer, throw it in the fridge, and then it was ready to go the next morning when we went to do our next training session or our walk. So that worked well for me. Again, all you're going to do, scoop out the canned food, put it on a cutting board, chop it up into little pieces, throw it in the oven to dehydrate. I would let it cool off, throw them into a Ziploc bag, put them in the freezer. So that's kind of the whole process. Very easy to do. A little more time consuming than obviously just going to the store and buying a bag of this, but it's still a pretty inexpensive and easy option and a little higher value treat than the kibble. So that's a great choice for that. As you get into kind of the higher value, or if you're not able to do kibble, You certainly could just cook whatever protein source you're using. So if your kibble has chicken as a protein source, I'll say I can't imagine it would if you're going through an allergy trial. But if you needed to use a rabbit or something like that, it gets a little pricier for sure. But you can do the same thing. So one of the books I picked up recommended boiling was the best method. At that point, we're using chicken, so just kind of cooked quickly. It didn't, I'll say, didn't lose a bunch of the nutrients that way. So that's what ended up working for me. But you can cook some chicken up, chop it up into little pieces. I boiled it, drained it, and then again threw them into some Ziploc bags, and then I had some higher value treats to work with. So that is an option. If you're on a very strict food trial, your options are kind of going to be limited. So I would take whatever ingredients you are cooking or feeding raw and try and incorporate them into your treats. So if your food that you are making or buying for your dog had, I'll say, potatoes and lamb in it, then that's what I would use as a training treat. So maybe you're gonna you could mash potatoes, fry them up, and then just kind of pick up little pieces to use for kind of a boring treat at home. Or as I suggested, maybe like hash browns, you could chop up potatoes, cook them in the oven. Anything mo as far as I know, I'm sure somebody out there can point out something different, but any of those carb sources typically have to be cooked to be absorbed by our dogs. So if you're using pasta, if you're using potatoes, if you're using rice, any of those cooked, you can feed them to your dog as kind of that lower value treat. And then I would typically use that protein source as your average or higher value treat. So again, if it was lamb, rabbit, if it happened to be chicken, whatever you're feeding, that's what you're gonna, I would say, cook, because you're handling it if you're training. If you're doing the raw diet, that's fine to feed in a bowl, but you can't, I would not want to take raw chicken or something like that into a training class. So all I would do is cook that up ahead of time, chop it up into little pieces, and then take that to class. Chicken does work quite nicely since you can usually just kind of tear apart little teeny tiny pieces of it. But you have to go with whatever protein source is in your food and that you're kind of working through in your trial. So that's all I would have to recommend for sort of that raw type or home cooked sort of diet. Again, kind of as a lower value treat. Typically, fruits and veggies are okay, so definitely check with your veterinarian that you're working through these issues with. But again, apples, carrots, frozen peas typically can work quite well as a lower value treat as well. And if your dog isn't allowed very much in the way of food, typically even those low value treats they come to value fairly highly. So I know even as boring as those rice cakes are, tests definitely would work for them in a lower like environment, lower stimulus environment. So again, when we were dealing with reactivity issues, I could not just feed her a Rice Crisp. She probably wouldn't care. That's when I'd pull out the chicken. But if we were working on something around the house or even kind of a less excited state training class, that would be fine. So if we were in a class and we were working on healing, I probably could use the Rice Crisps with her. But if we were doing something like a lot of dogs were running, doing, say, fly ball, that might not be enough to catch her interest. So, it really depends on your dog, how food motivated they are, and what it is exactly you're training. But those are some things that I've found have worked pretty well for me. So I hope that gives you a little bit of different ideas that you can use. Like I said, I really struggled finding treats that would work when we kind of were going through some of these feeding trials with Tess. So especially on the allergy front, I hope that helps you. It's very frustrating to go through and not, I think sometimes, like, if, especially if you're involved in a lot of sports, that's really what you love to do with your dog. I think, my veterinarian was saying, well, just don't feed her treats. And, for the most part, that was okay. I could do that around the house. But it's like, well, how do you not feed treats at a training class? Like, yes, I can use a tug or I can use other forms of reward, but often that's very distracting to other dogs. If I whipped out a tennis ball, it's not fair to the other dogs in that environment that are trying to learn, sit down, whatever. But I'm also not able to get those repetitions in. So again, like I kind of mentioned, the nose work class, I just didn't have a choice. That's the only way I knew of or know of to reward finding a scent. Maybe I could have tugged. She wasn't a big tugger. But, if you're trying to teach that, typically the way you teach it is with treats, and it's very frustrating if you don't have some different options to go through. So that's what I've found worked for me. I'm just going to kind of flip up to this summary here again and just quickly walk through what we talked about today. So we've already talked about kind of training treats versus Kong. So with the training treats, we're looking for something a little bit different. We want small, easily consumable treats, preferably soft and preferably moist if we can. Where for the Kong, we can really use kind of anything or your everyday treat. So that's where I would use a jerky or something kind of special that they enjoy around the house. But for training treats, that's kind of what we're looking for. We want those low-calorie treats that we can get a lot of repetitions in. So that's what we're going to look for. And then we talk about the three different levels of treats. So we've got lower value treats, something like your kibble, or I talked about rice crisps, frozen vegetables, just something kind of lower value for the easier behaviors that we're trying to teach. Then we talked about average treats. So again, sort of my go-to were kind of the hot dogs, the freeze-dried chicken. Some people have success with the Zouk type treats, but any of those treats that will work as sort of in an average distraction environment that we're going to encounter in a class or sort of out in real life. And then the last level would be the high value treats, and that's where I'm probably going to use something like the organ treats, actual like cooked chicken, something like that. Anything that our dog finds high value. And I didn't talk about this as we went through, but every dog's different. So if your dog's most favorite thing in the world to use is lettuce, then use lettuce as your high value treat. You don't have to stick to what I'm saying. This has just sort of been my experience, what has worked for me and what I've seen work for other students in class and other instructors throughout the years. So those are sort of our three levels of treats. And again, situationally, it's going to depend when you need to use them. So low value treats might work great as you're sort of working on or reinforcing behaviors at home. But if you're in a class environment, you might need those average treats, or you might need to pull out a few high value treats just to get them started, and then you can bump down to average or lower value treats. And if you're working on a specific, say, reactivity behavior or something like that, you might need to pull out the big guns when you're encountering those issues. So those are sort of the three different levels. And then for the allergies and intolerances, really depends on where you are at with how severe your dog's allergies are. But we talked about some of the veterinary line allergy foods, the treats and the canned food associated with that. We talked about some of the single ingredient treats like freeze-dried treats or dehydrated treats. Talked about if you're cooking your own dog's food or you're buying sort of maybe a pre-made thing, but you know the ingredients that go into it, you're going to use that protein source for your higher to average value treat. And then, maybe the carbohydrate or sort of a vegetable for a lower value treat. So that just gives you some different options, I hope, to help you have success in your training class, because I think that's where a lot of new sort of beginner handlers really struggle. Maybe they'll see some success that some of the more experienced handlers in their class are having, and they're kind of going, well, why can't I get that? And some of it is certainly skill and experience level. The more you know, the better your timing and things like that. But a lot of it really comes down to treat choice, is what I see. So, a big reason a lot of people really struggle through classes or training in certain behaviors, they just don't have the right treats for the situation. And again, that might mean starting with a high value treat and then jumping back down to an average or lower value treat. But, if you don't have those treats on hand, or a bit of a mix, sometimes you can really struggle in a class, and it's not because you're doing anything wrong, training wise. But I think it discourages a lot of people because they aren't having the success they want. And for something as simple as just bringing a different variety of treats, it's a pretty simple fix. So I hope you got a lot out of this. If you want the bonuses, you can head over to our website, dogsportsdecoded.com, and sign up for our email list, and we'll get those bonuses to you. I've got kind of a bonus handout to go with this class. And otherwise, I'll see you at the next podcast. Thanks for watching, everybody.